Shalom, this is Billy Brailman, the voice of One Witness radio broadcast, coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And we're closing out this week that we've been talking on gifts of the Holy Ghost, manifestations of the Holy Ghost, using 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11 particularly. I think I'll continue on this theme next week. For those of you who can't be with us in Osage Beach, Missouri, but we will be in Osage Beach, Missouri next week at Larry Ollison's church. And there we're going to have a Holy Ghost meeting. I'm going to be joined by Paul Brady from Ireland. But, you know, I just know, and I want to, that's one of the reasons why in some of the meetings now, I want to follow the Spirit of God, see where He takes us. He is the teacher. Of course, He's our teacher. And we've been sitting and listening to Holy Ghost-filled teachers teach and teach and teach and teach. But we're a little bit off balance, I think, with a manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. We've tipped the scale a little bit so that they're not so much manifesting in our church services than they're supposed to. Because it says here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. If you didn't hear our radio broadcast yesterday, go back and listen to it on the archives. And there we have told about a particular gift of the Spirit, manifestation of the spiritual gift that operated in Papa Mama Goodwin's church because they knew how to do it. They knew how to move in order, but yet have the manifestation of the Spirit. It's not just wildfire. It's a manifestation of the Holy Ghost that is in order. Now I'm going to read to you today from two testimonies, one by Brother Ron Smith, and remember, he's going to be one of our people that's with us the first week in June, and he was a minister in Papa and Mama Goodwin's church. He was there as associate minister for 16 years. Now, Ernest Groover is another person whose testimony, he was in the church and close friend of them for years, and Ernest Groover gave his witness of Mom and Dad's ministry, and he knew them for most of the span of their 50 plus year ministry. So Ernest Groover and his daughter Grace, I knew her, was so close to them. And Ernest Groover gives this interesting testimony, and then we're going to hear Ron Smith tell his side of it. This is in the book that we're making available to you this week for $10. Just call us at 1-800-972-3447. Now I'm reading from page 30. This is Evangelist John McDuff was holding a revival meeting at the Goodwin's Church in Pasadena, Texas. Brother McDuff invited a former Jewish rabbi. Now this Jewish rabbi had been born again and in fact had become a minister. He went by the name of Jack Robbins. So Brother McDuff had invited him to attend the service that night. Jack Robbins had been saved for some time and even taught a men's Bible class at the First Methodist Church in Houston. I had never met Jack, what Ernest Groover says. On the first night of the services, he was introduced to me as Jack Robbins, and that was the only name by which I knew him. The second night of the meetings, Jack came forward to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He was kneeling at the altar. I was kneeling beside him along with some others. Mom was across the altar from him, Mom Goodwin. There are many instances in the Bible where God gave the Jewish people signs to confirm His will in various matters. Since Jack was Jewish, Mom prayed that God would give him a sign to make him know that this experience of the baptism in the Holy Spirit was real and was for him. Suddenly, I, Ernest Groover, began to weep. I put my hand on his shoulder. I began to speak out a message in other tongues, and the message was a personal word for Jack. He looked up and wondered who was talking to him. Jack told me later that I had spoken out a message in the highest form of the Hebrew language. He understood the words, even though I did not. In the message, God spoke to Jack. Let me get that right now. In the message, God spoke to Jack and called him by his Hebrew name, which none of us knew. God called him, and I'm going to say this, folks, in Hebrew because I do know how it would have been pronounced. He is written here in the book. God called him Jacob Rabinowitz, son of Ezekiel Rabinowitz. But this is what God would have said. God called him Yaakov Rabinowitz, Ben Yehezkel Rabinowitz, and proceeded to tell him that these experiences were truly from God. When I, Ernest Groover, finished the message in tongues, Jack arose, went to the choir loft, and buried his head in his hands, sobbing. Tears streamed from his eyes and rolled out between his fingers. When he could compose himself, he wrote in the flyleaf of his Bible the message that God had given him. God had indeed answered Mom Goodwin's prayer by giving Jack a sign through this experience. God demonstrated to Jack how mindful he was of him. This message spoken out in Hebrew, Jack, along with the rest of us, experienced Pentecost that night. Now, that was Ernest Groover's testimony of what happened. The word came through him. But I'm going to read you Ron Smith's testimony of what he saw that night. He's another witness. Ron Smith writes, "I was there when this notable and outstanding event so vividly told by Ernest Groover happened. Because of my personal involvement with Yaakov Rabinowitz, I thought it would be in order to include my perspective. First of all, this singular event is one of the most dramatic God things that I have ever witnessed. You see, all of us, and especially our children, must see miracles of God in the local church. It cures you and yours of prolonged oppression and depression. David records in the Psalms that when they remembered God in their tents, they rejoiced. However, when they forgot God, they murmured. This simply means when you see God openly manifest himself as we did, your memories themselves are an antidote to the ills that knock on your door. Secondly, I'm always amazed at the vessels God chooses to use for special occasions. In this instance, Ernest Groover was so clothed upon by the Holy Spirit that this learned, eloquent minister was elevated into classic idioms of syntax, and he gave the appearance of one totally consumed by the Lord. What a moment! Then, the message that was articulated was unknown to all but one visitor, a Mr. Jack Robbins, as he was known by men. Jack Robbins was addressed differently by the one who knows everything about us. As Ernest Groover prayed in other tongues, the Holy Spirit addressed him as Yaakov Rabinowitz, Ben Yehezkel Rabinowitz. Ezekiel Rabinowitz was an Israeli priest in the 16th course of the priesthood. This is strikingly similar to Zacharias. In the course of Abia, when the angel of the Lord appeared to him while ministering in the order of his course, and the notable miracle of John the Baptist followed. In this modern version, you have this man, Jack Robbins, suddenly transformed by the Holy Ghost and given information which only he and his wife knew concerning his Hebrew name, his father's name, occupation, and order, and the call of God upon his life, which he surrendered to. It was my joy to hold a joint revival with Yaakov Rabinowitz, or Jacob Rabinowitz, some 6 months later at Imperial Valley Assembly of God. And in those meetings, awesome confirmations from the Lord were made manifest, and many came to salvation and are still serving God to this day. One other side note, it was the ministry of spiritual song and praises that arrested the attention of Yaakov and his wife as they heard this anointed singing flowing from First Assembly in Corsicana, Texas. Sometimes prior to the visiting the Goodwin's Church, they were attracted by the singing and slipped in and sat on the back pew. Everything was fine until a cowboy evangelist, boots and all, got up and began to preach. His text happened to be Acts 8, how the Lord appeared to Saul of Tarsus and he was saved. Upon hearing this, Jack Robbins stomped out of the church, but he couldn't resist looking in the Gideon Bible back in his hotel room, and surely enough, It was exactly as the evangelist had stated. Conviction fell upon him and his wife, and they were gloriously saved. And like Paul Harvey, now you know the rest of the story. Folks, we had something happen. Since God told us to begin praying for the awakenings, and we pray and stream the prayer live every Wednesday. You can join us at billybrim.org. Join us live. And we had a lady join us, and there we pray, and we pray for an awakening, and we pray in tongues. And so she wrote to us on March 31st an email. "This is my first time being a part of your webcast, prayer webcast. Did you know you were praying in Italian at one point when people were praying in tongues? Is it taped so you can get an interpretation of what you were saying? I made my European debut in Florence, Italy, and studied Italian, but it's been a number of years. The reason I'm telling you this is I believe I got an interpretation of a few words, and I want you to check it out with your spirit and the Holy Spirit. Italian is the Italian, which is grammatically backwards from English, you said, palace, heart, my heart dwells, and I believe." Now, when she gave me the words, I recognize them as coming from my favorite psalm, Psalm 27. It's a psalm which says, "One thing do I desire, and that is to dwell in your tabernacle, in your temple, or in your palaces." And so I read her letter and on our Wednesday broadcast, and she emailed me back. "Today, 4:21, is my third time in your prayer meeting. When you spoke about tongues today, and you shared a little at the beginning, I want you to know that that's so important for me. I learned to speak in tongues late in life and have literally been told by many Christian friends that it's gibberish from the devil. The devil has so attacked me that I prayed very little in tongues these last few years. On March 14, you read my email about your praying in Italian during the prayer meeting. I heard you speaking one of your favorite psalms, 'My heart dwells in your palace.' I was telling my former missionary friend that you're speaking the beautiful, pure, flowing, cultured Italian used by scholars in writings of old and for the writing of opera. You said you didn't know what I meant by debut. I was an opera singer and made my European debut, and I studied this highest, purest Italian. Most people can't even read." But then she laughed and she said, "Don't take offense when I tell you this. It's funny. You butchered my Italian name. You call me Lucchese. It's correctly pronounced Lucchese. I knew you did not speak Italian naturally. That was the Lord's way of letting me know the enemy had been lying to me and that tongues are as real today as they were in the days of the apostles. Today's message helped me so much. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's still happening. It must happen for you. If you can, come and be with us for the Joe Jordan, Ron Smith meeting here in June. 8 through 11. You'll have to register because we don't have a lot of room, but there are a few places left. Call 1-800-972-3447. And if you can, come and be with us next week in Osage Beach. You can find all the particulars on our website, billybrim.org. Shalom, shalom.